Jeremiah under trial. The late Brother Ernest Stallworthy, Testimony Special Issue, July 1993. There are many ways in which the life and times of Jeremiah are similar to our own. He lived at the end of an age, as we do. He and his friends awaited the destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldean armies. We await the destruction of this present order at the hands of Jesus. We, like Jeremiah and his friends, do not know what we may have to go through before the expected end comes. He lived in the midst of those who had turned from God and his word, backsliding children, God calls them. That is very much our situation as well. He exhorted his brethren and sisters to forsake the way in which they were walking and to walk rather in the light of the word, but his message went unheeded. More than that, there were those who vigorously opposed what he said and sought to persecute him. Then said they, "Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." They did not believe Jeremiah and said that the dreadful things of which he had spoken would not come to pass. And later they went so far as to put him in the stocks. He was in despair at the dreadful message he had to bring, so much so that he did not want to proclaim it. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He felt impelled to speak, but he wished he had never been born. Cursed be the day wherein I was born, let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed." Jeremiah is not the only faithful servant of God who has felt like that. Job said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Why died I not from the womb?" It is a dreadful state of mind to be in. May none of us ever get that low. In the case of Jeremiah, we have to reconcile, as he had to, his misery with what God said to him when he called him to be a prophet. He was especially chosen by God to bring his dread message to God's people, and God gave him much encouragement and reassurance when he first called him. "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail." What did Jeremiah think of that promise when he found himself in the stocks or in the dungeon? Had not God said to him, "I am with thee to deliver thee"? God has said that not only to Jeremiah, but to us all. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now that is difficult to believe when trouble comes, but it is true. It was true for Jeremiah, and it is true for us. Indeed, it is true for all the children of God. Paul says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The life of Jeremiah demonstrates this. Indeed, it is in the midst of tribulation that Jeremiah demonstrates his faith, his confidence that God is in control. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." This conviction that Jeremiah had should be shared by us all.